medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. I'm Chandra Wabshaw, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm the Business Solutions Lead at Colas IS Support. With me this week and every week is... Oh, wait, just kidding. Not this week. I wonder if that means I need to change my intro going forward to be with me this week and most weeks is. Anyway, I'm flying solo this week as Paul is off presenting and visiting with customers. Or maybe he's explaining why developers are the unsung heroes of humanity. Personally, I'd argue that CNCs are the unsung heroes, but we all know he's partial to developers since he was one. But we'll make sure to ask him what he was really doing when he returns stateside next week. I'm hoping everyone had an enjoyable Thanksgiving and that your food coma has worn off. I'm curious, though, if anyone recognized any Midwestern food at their Thanksgiving gathering. I know I did. I saw a green bean casserole and, of course, a Jell-O salad, which I'll talk about a little bit later in our Midwestern segment. Well, what's new with me? We had our first snowfall here in Colorado, at least where I'm at. And I'll say one thing. The snow clearing crews are not quite the same caliber that I had in Minnesota. They did a decent enough job. However, I don't think they're quite as quick to clear the trails around the area. And I don't mean like the off-road trails. I mean the paved walking trails that are around town. It snowed here. It started kind of Tuesday night, went through most of Wednesday. And on Thursday morning when I woke up, I figured, well, I'll just head down to the trail that I normally run. And I just figured it would be easier than trying to potentially negotiate unshoveled sidewalks or maybe some roads that hadn't been fully cleared. But that ended up being a little bit of a mistake on my part because, well, they hadn't plowed the trail yet. So I got down there and I thought, well, maybe this little junction that I'm on right here just hasn't been plowed. And when I get down on the main trail, it'll be fine. Well, I get down to the main trail and I was like, well, I either need snowshoes or I think I should turn around because this is going to be one heck of a run. I will be very, very sore and fatigued after this one. So I ended up instead just running on the streets in the downtown area where I live, which was fine. They were, for the most part, cleared, at least better cleared than what the trail was. So one thing I did also realize, even though I grew up in Minnesota, for those that may or may not know, and spent 40 plus years dealing with winter, I've been away in Florida for the last four and haven't had to really contend with bitter cold temperatures or wind chills as bad as, you know, it is here or in Minnesota. And I think I forgot what temperature equals what pair of gloves or what temperature equals what pair of pants. I felt pretty good with my top layer choices, but my fingers, the ends of them from kind of the knuckles onward were white when I got back and hurt a lot. So note to self, maybe wear thicker gloves when the wind chill is in the single digits. So lesson learned. But on the bright side, I did remember how to shovel. I know that seems like a silly thing, but I remembered to use my legs, not my back, so I wasn't sore or hunched over. So I guess that's good. Anyway, I'm sure there will be more snow here in my future and probably some more cooler temperatures, so I'll just have to continue to reprogram myself for that kind of weather. Since Paul is gone, I actually decided to take this opportunity to talk about another tool that business analysts can use to get to event rules. I stumbled across this one the other day when I was looking up something on my Oracle support, and it's called Search Event Rule Objects. It is application P95110. I found this to be super helpful for me. I actually think from my perspective, it's easier to use than going into OMW and putting the object in a project, checking it out and opening up form design aid. but we'll talk more about that here in just a second. Of course, you need to have security to get to that application, and you need to have access to a full client. This ties really well into episodes 81, 83, and 85, where Paul and I unpacked accessing form design aid and kind of what you can do from within it. And of course, one of those things was event rules. So I guess you could think of today's episode as part four, even though we were only going to have part three. But sometimes the best laid plans get changed. And this time you get only my voice and zero dad jokes from Paul. Oh, wait, I'm normally the one with the dad jokes. So as you recall from episode 81, us business analysts or system analysts are sometimes asked questions like, well, what tables does this application update? And what we talked about in episode 81 was using form design aid to get to that. So most of the time, I think many of us have just gone to our developer or maybe to our CNC and said, hey, would you be able to tell me what table this application updates or which tables it updates? And then maybe you have to wait a couple business days to get a response because they're busy. Of course, they have priority things on their plates. So what we did is we kind of covered how you can get to that through form design aid. Well, this week, I'm going to cover how you can get to the event rule without causing your developers and CNC to curl up in a fetal position to be able to quickly browse your event rules or print them and kind of gain that insight into how an application behaves or how a form behaves. And you don't need to check out the object or worry about accidentally modifying anything. That's always my biggest fear, as I check out an object and I accidentally clicked on something and maybe I scrolled onto another screen and then come back and I didn't realize that I clicked back on it. Now I'm deleting stuff and I'm like, wah! Don't do that. That's not good. But this is where the Search Event Rule Objects application comes in handy. So this started for me by I had opened up a ticket with Oracle support on something and needed a quick refresher on printing the event rule. And I had stumbled across document 626534.1, which of course gave me the form design aid or report design aid option, which I promise we will cover RDA or report design aid in a future episode. But it also highlighted the Search Event Rule Objects application P95110. So again, I opened up my full client and I FastPath to it. And it gives you an option to show application objects, show report objects, show NER or named event rule business function objects. I was like, whoa, that's pretty cool. So when you put in the QBE under the object, let's say you're looking for purchase orders, P4310, and you click find on the left, there's an option for you to browse ER or print ER. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so much easier. It's so much quicker for me. Where has this been? So I was really excited about this and I thought, well, I might as well share it. Maybe there's people out there that haven't heard of this. So again, for those of us with event rules, it's why is that a useful tool for me again? Well, you can see exactly what the application is doing. You can validate logic before logging a development request. You can troubleshoot any strange behavior in an application more independently. So you can do a little bit more of the digging into the issue before you maybe have to get a developer involved. You can quickly respond to my Oracle support without needing to get a developer or a CNC to help you pull the event rules. You can maybe use it to make your requirements a bit sharper if you need something customized to behave like an existing application or using an existing report object or business function object. Helps you also provide maybe a little bit more detailed specs to your developers. Maybe it helps expedite the process so there's not as much back and forth or clarification. So when you use P95110, you don't need a project. You don't need OMW. You don't have to go into form design aid or report design aid. And For me, it was just, I didn't have to navigate anything scary or risk accidentally making changes to an object. One thing to note, if support does ask for the event rules for a business function, you still need to get to those through the source file on the full client, just as we covered in our episode earlier. I hope people find this useful, and it just gives you one more tool in your toolbox, as we say. Well, with that, no episode would be complete without a Midwesternism, and this week we're going to cover Jell-O salad. Yeah, I know. We covered this back in episode 33, and when we did, we talked about various kinds of Jell-O salad. They were the ones that I remembered from my childhood. I think we talked about Grandma's lime green Jell-O salad, Grandma's sunshine Jell-O salad, an orange fluff salad, a strawberry pretzel salad, and a holiday style salad. And those all had very unique ingredients in them, including like evaporated milk, mayonnaise, cottage cheese, vegetables, fruit, frozen whip topping or Cool Whip, marshmallows, pretzels, cream cheese, you know, the whole gamut of different ingredients that you can put in Jell-O. And it's amazing. Well, I forgot an ingredient that can go in a Jell-O salad. Sour cream. Yeah. At the Thanksgiving I was at this year, there was a Jell-O salad, a fruit-based Jell-O salad that I believe was cherry in flavor, and it had sour cream in it with cherries as well in the mixture, and of course was set in a pretty mold, so it looked very pretty. But when I bit into it, I was like, oh, that was not the taste I thought was going to be there. I thought it was going to be like a little bit sweeter, like it had whipped cream in it, because you could tell it wasn't clear Jell-O, right? It was more of a cloudy color, more of a reddish, pinkish color, but just not translucent like Jell-O. So I knew there was something else in it, and I figured it was whipped cream. Nope, it was sour cream. I was like, oh my goodness, I forgot that we could put sour cream in our Jell-O in the Midwest and make a salad of it. And oh, by the way, the cherries were not like your maraschino cherries that you put in your favorite cocktail or beverage. They were actually Bing cherries. So never ending things that you can do to a Jell-O salad, in case you were ever wondering. Well, that wraps up today's solo episode of the JDE Connection. Next week, Paul will be back, and hopefully he'll have some good stories from his travels, and maybe he's got some great insight from his various meetings with customers. I look forward to hearing about it. Maybe he'll even have some analogy about where event rules could be incorporated in an airport setting. We all know how fun travel can be and how airports aren't always the most efficient. Well, for questions, feedback, or ideas for future episodes, contact us at thejdeconnection@questoraclecommunity.org. Until next time, let's keep learning, sharing, and most importantly, laughing together. Toodles. See ya.
Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards. Staying in the JDE loop is easy with Quest. Sign up for our free JD Edwards newsletter or follow Quest JDE on LinkedIn or Facebook for the latest Oracle updates, new content publication, and news on upcoming webinars and events. For more info, visit questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.